welcome to the Karen Kenny Show. I'm a certified spiritual mentor, hypnotist, writer, integrative change worker, and life coach. I always say, this whole being human thing is kind of like an ongoing problem. So on this show, I tell everyday stories interwoven with spiritual principles, practical tools, and plenty of humor to help us transform from pain to peace, from wound to wisdom, from your story to your glory, and ultimately, from fear back to love. Well, hello there, beautiful human. Thank you so much. Welcome to the Karen Kenny Show. I'm super duper excited to be here today. And I'm going to call this sucker Starting and Stopping. Starting and Stopping. And of course, there's a story. There's always a story. There's always a story or two. And I'm going to dive into where the inspiration for this came and all that. But before I do, I just want to say hi. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you spending a little time with me. If you're new to the show, welcome, welcome. Come on in, take a seat. It always makes me think of like when Mr. Rogers would like, you know, come in and he would like hang up his jacket and put on his sweater and take off his shoes and put on his little sneakers. Like that's how I feel every time I do a show. Okay. And look it, here's what I want to say. If you are not on my newsletter yet, if you do not get my emails weekly, I want to invite you to sign up because you're going to get this podcast delivered right into your inbox every Thursday morning. You'll find out what I'm up to, what kind of shenanigans, if I'm doing any fun events, shit like that. And you just go to KarenKenny.com/signup. I would love to have you join our little email community. That would be fantastic. Okay, let's dive into this sucker. So some of you might know that obviously I'm a Massachusetts kid. I'm a little hashtag evolved masshole, but I still love me some Boston boys. So meaning, like I always say, like Ben and Matt, you know, Mark and Donnie, like all of them, Casey, like I love all those Boston kids. So Mark Wahlberg, I'm a fan. My sweetie always kind of rolls his eyes, but I'm a fan. And some of you might know that he is somebody who gets up like wicked early in the morning and he trains. He has this like incredible gym inside of his home, but he also like, I've seen videos like when he travels, if they do, he like brings like a whole gym with him. It is insane. But here's my point. So I see this video, what I think it was on Instagram or whatever. And it's him and he's talking about how he gets up at like 3:15 a.m. or 3:20 or 4, whatever it is, at the crack of dawn, before dawn. And he's working out. And there's this other guy in the video with him. And he's like, you know, we're here, you know, we're getting our workout in, we're doing this whole thing. And then he kind of like hits the other guy, like in a friendly way, like taps his chest. And he's like, hey, but this time, you know, we're going to stay in shape. So what it leads me to believe is this is a guy who either works for him, works with him, whatever, who they have gotten into shape before. And then somehow that discipline, that consistency went out the window. And now they're going to do it again for this guy because he, you know, he taps him and he's like, hey, but this time we're going to stay in shape. And then Mark looks at the camera and he says this and he's saying it to the guy. I think he looked at the camera, but I felt like he looked at the camera. But then he said to the guy, he said, look, it's harder to get in shape than to stay in shape. And I was like, oh, Mark Wahlberg, just dropping the wisdom, dropping the golden nugget. And I'm like, whoop, I'm going to borrow that because this is something that I talk about. I always say samesies different with my clients and with people that I'm working with. So I'm going to say that again. He said, it's harder to get in shape than to stay in shape. And it made me think about how so there have been people in my family who were truck drivers, right? So I'm no stranger to like Mack trucks and like, you know, like all that. And, you know, CB radios, like I had a CB handle, like when I was a kid, you know, it's a whole thing. But the other day I was at a stoplight. Okay. But before I got to the stoplight, I should say, I drove past this, you know, Mack truck, this 18 wheeler. Look at when those things are moving, when they are moving, they are like, I always try to think about like, what would it be like if something that big moving with that much speed, carrying that much weight, right, were to crash into something, like the devastation of that impact, right? Because when those things get moving, it's like, holy shit. There's a reason why they start breaking way before everybody else, when there's an off ramp, when there's a, you know, a light coming up. So I drove past this Mack truck and I'm like, oh my God, this is a huge moving piece. Operating, talk about operating heavy machinery. So I'm having all these thoughts as I drive by it. And then I get to the stoplight, and then the truck eventually comes up to the stoplight next to me and it's idling there. Well, as soon as that light turns green, like I go, like I take off, right? I'm just in this little, like, you know, little, like, you know, RAV4, little kind of mini SUV, whatever. And I'm off the line. And all these other cars are like driving around it and going, because it takes some time for that thing to start going again. And it made me think about how what Mark was saying, you know, it is harder to have to get in shape than stay in shape. It's also harder to start moving again once you've stopped. And it made me think, right? And this is how my brain works. It's like ping, 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 ricochet rabbit. It's like jumping around. And I'm going to make my point. I'm going to extract from these multiple stories, kind of the spiritual principles. I'm going to, this episode is probably going to be pretty short, because it's short and punchy, because it's, there's a lot here. But I don't think it's going to take too many words to make my point. So the other night in yoga class, so I've been a yoga teacher for over like 25 years. I had a studio for 10 years, a brick and mortar business. And then I always weave yoga into the philosophy of yoga, the spiritual practice of yoga, well, is always a part of my life. And I always practice on my own and stuff like that. But I hadn't been teaching weekly yoga classes in like 5 years. I always still teach when I do retreats. I guest teach sometimes. I do workshops at different people's studios, things like that. I mentor yoga teachers sometimes. So yoga is always still, you know, a part of what I do. But I hadn't been doing yoga classes for like the last 5 years weekly. And then I recently have just returned, and it's been a total blast. It's been wicked fun. So a lot of my old students, I'm talking like students from like 20 years ago, it's so crazy, have been coming back to classes, and it's been so fun and just a delight, just like a total delight to get to see people in person again, to be able to share yoga with them, to teach, to do, like, it's like my yoga classes, like, you know, a fellow yoga teacher came to my class the other day and just so kindly said to me, you know, this is way more than just a class. This is like an experience. And I was like, yes, yes, she gets it. Because it's really like, I bring all parts of me to my yoga class. So there's like spiritual mentoring in there. There's like, I put my hands on people at the end of class. I always, with permission, of course, do a little wooshy-wooshy, a little head massage. You know, in some of my classes, there's like a little hypno relaxation at the end. It's just been fantastic. But some of my students have not, you know, necessarily kept up with their yoga practice in the last 5 years. So they're coming back to me after a long time of not really moving. And they're saying like, oh my God, KK, I'm so stiff. Like, I'm so stiff. And I'm like, yeah, move it or lose it. If you don't keep using it, if you just stop, it's a lot as easy to get started again. And then that made me think about, is it Newton's law? I think it's one of Newton's laws of motion or something that says this: a body in motion tends to stay in motion unless acted on by an outside force. We're going to come back to this and I'll repeat it then. But so let's talk about what all of these little stories have in common. So we got Wahlberg saying, hey, it's harder to get in shape than to stay in shape. I see this Mack truck that has all this speed, like all this energy, and then it takes a lot to stop, and then it takes a lot to get going again. And then I have these yoga students who are coming back to class after not really moving, not really doing stuff, right? And they're like, yeah, I'm really feeling the effects of this. Of course, cause, not moving your body, not doing mobility, strength, all that stuff. And now effect, right? Feeling the effects of being tight and stiff and rigid, and your joints are a little cranky and your muscles a little like, murr, you know what I mean? Okay, so what do all these have in common? Okay. What we're seeing is that it's a lot easier to just keep doing what you were doing rather than stat and stop and stat and stop and stat and stop, stat and stop. You know what I'm saying? It's like, have you had people in your life who it's almost like maybe you've been in a relationship with somebody like this where it's like pressing the gas and the brake at the same time. It's like, if you could see me, I'm kind of doing this thing with my hands and jerking my head and making that noise, right? It's like stat, stop, stat, stop, stat, stop, right? And we see this with habits. We see this like really good intentions. People are like, oh, I'm going to go do this thing. And they do it for 2 days and then they stop. Or they say, I'm going to start doing this thing and they start to do it and then they stop. And here's the thing. Let's go back to this law of motion and physics. A body in motion tends to stay in motion unless acted on by an outside force. But it's also a body at rest tends to stay at rest unless also acted on by an outside force. It's a lot easier though. Think about it. When a body is at rest, isn't it harder to get it going again if it's just been laying around for a long time? Yes. But if something is in motion, right, it's not always easy to stop it. And what I'm talking about is consistency. So I talk to people a lot about habits and rituals and practices and a DSP, right, a daily spiritual practice. And behaviors, right, what habits are simply behaviors that have now become automated. They become so routine that you don't even have to think about them anymore. So when we're trying to start to do something, let's just take having a DSP, a daily spiritual practice. First thing in the morning, you get up, you meditate, you say your prayers, maybe you do some breath work, you do contemplation, you do spiritual reading, you do your Course in Miracles lessons, like whatever it is, right? There's 1,000 ways to put together a DSP. Well, here's what I know to be true. It is easier to just get up each day and keep doing it. Getting it on your calendar, saying, this is what I'm doing, not overthinking it, like just do the damn thing. And then once you get some momentum going, it's way easy to keep it in motion. Do you know what I'm saying? Rather than start to do the practice, start to do the habit, right? It hasn't quite become a habit yet. Start to do the behavior. And then you stop. And then you get up out of guilt and you do it another day and then you stop. And then you don't do it for 3 days. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to do it again. And now not only are you dealing with trying to create a new habit, you're also dealing with the effects, the emotional effects, the mental effects of not keeping your word to yourself. So you're dealing now with the guilt and the shame and the procrastination. And then all the stories, I'm not good enough. I can never keep my word to myself. I always let myself down. I'm a piece of shit. I'm no good, right? I'm like, no, if you just stayed, right? If you just stayed getting in spiritual shape rather than starting and stopping, it's a lot easier, like to keep that momentum, right? I said here, I wrote it down. Once you get going, it's easier to stay in motion and gain momentum, consistency instead of being sporadic. Because here's the reality, okay? If you want to make headway, what we really need, right? Like if you want to get somewhere, what we really need is that momentum. We want the energy. We want the excitement. We want the enthusiasm. We want to start to gather. It's kind of like when a train gets going, you know, in the beginning, when if you were watching like an old time train that had those wheels that were like pulled forward by that lever, by the coal and the steam, right? And it would literally go like, you would see it start to roll so slowly, like, right? And then it would roll through. Right? And then it really starts to gain speed. It gains momentum. It gains energy. And it's really hard. You ever hear them slam on the brakes? Right? If you were in Boston at all, I went to college at BU, right? Boston University. If you've ever ridden the Green Line, right? The Green Line, the T, the subway, you hear those screeches. They will never leave your mind. I'm sure New York kids and anywhere where there's a subway, you can relate. But I just think of the Green Line specifically, like running right up Com Ave, right? And just the noise of the brakes. And it's like, right? Because trying to slow down something that was in motion, it takes a lot of effort, right? But if we just let something get in motion and stay in motion and we don't keep trying to stop it, if we start to build those habitual muscles. Now, look, some people say it takes 21 days to create a habit. It really takes way longer than that, they say. So the sign, like, but I will say this. Let me say this. I think that there's a spectrum because I think that when somebody really makes up their mind, right? I've known people to watch vegan films like Cowspiracy and Seaspiracy and Forks Over Knives and all this stuff, right? The new one, Christspiracy, it's so impactful. I highly encourage everybody to go see it. I've seen people watch a movie like that and they will boom, overnight become vegan. They will stop doing sets of behaviors that they have been doing their whole lives up to that point because they made a shift in their mind and they created a new identity. I'm not somebody who eats animals anymore. I'm not somebody who participates in the harm and the slaughter and the rape, the abuse and the suffering of these sentient beings. Just like that on the spot. I've seen people, I'm one of them, who decided to quit smoking, did it on the spot, made a decision, said enough's enough, I'm not doing this anymore, and I never smoked again. So I do know that a habit change can happen instantaneously in one moment overnight. I also know that for some people, after about 3 weeks, they get acclimated. I'm saying some, but most people need between, right? Like 77 days, sometimes they say 67 days, but I've heard all the way up to like 100, 300 days. Like it might take somebody like a whole year. If you're somebody who never went to the gym, right? And you're now trying to get in there, right? It might take you a little, it might take you a little bit to start to make this part of your life and not just a thing. This is why we often say diets don't work. It's about starting to see whatever shift or change you're making as a non-negotiable, as I would say, as a change in your lifestyle, not just a change in your quote unquote eating habits or whatever. So I wanted to kind of talk about this, like how once you get going, it's easier to stay in motion. And I want to go back to this quote. It says, a body in motion tends to stay in motion unless acted on by an outside force. Now, what that means is if I roll a ball and it is going a particular direction, it will always go straight unless it's acted on by something else, like me poking that ball and making it go to the right, or poking that ball and making it go to the left, or all of a sudden there's a big drop. Right? So that thing would have kept going straight. But now if it drops off of the surface and it hits the floor, now it might bounce and go sideways, right? So it will keep going and doing what it's doing unless it's acted on by an outside force. But also I think a body in motion tends to stay in motion, right? Unless it's acted on by what I would call an inside force. And sometimes that inside force is your inside critic, is your inner critic. It's an inner voice. And I don't mean the good inner voice. I don't mean the inner voice that is the voice for love, that is the memories of God's love, that is your inner teacher. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sometimes the voice of your ego, the voice of one of your parts that is not trying to be that nice to you, that part of you that has an old identity or an old story or an old belief or an old pattern or habit that no longer serves you. And it might be something like this, right? It might be an inner voice that is actually not your voice, but I think of them as like little recordings. Like when we're little kids or we're younger in our younger years in those really developmental years, it's almost like we have our finger on a, remember those old tape recorders? It had like the six buttons and one was red and it said REC with the circle. That was the record button. You'd put your cassette tapes in, right? I carried one of those around with me. I went through a phase. I was recording everything for a long time. I love those things, right? It's how we used to make our mixtapes and all that. Wait for the song to come on the radio. You young kids are like, what is she talking about? But trust me, but I feel like when we're little kids, that's what our brain is like. That's what our subconscious is like. It is a blank tape and we're just sitting there with our finger on the record button and it's recording all that stuff. And sometimes I'll hear something in my head and I'll think, shit, that's not my voice. That's like my stepfather's voice. Or that's so-and-so's voice. Or that was that teacher in high school or in grade school, whatever, right? And so we'll hear it come echoing back to us, boomeranging back to us, right? From back in the past. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my God. And that inside force, that inside voice will sometimes derail us, will sometimes knock us off course. It will help us to stop when what we really want to do is start or keep going. And if we don't address those things, when those voices, when they pop up, when they start to get in our way, we'll lose our momentum. And then we're back to that. And I do want to say this. I think it's important to note that by breaking and stopping and stopping, starting and going and starting, you know, starting and stopping, you can probably still get where you want to go. You'll eventually maybe get there by pumping the gas and then slamming on the brake and then pumping the grip. But it's going to take you a hell of a lot longer than if you just followed through, if you just kept the momentum. Like, you know, so we got to be asking ourselves, what does my stop button actually look like or sound like or feel like? Can I recognize it when it comes up in my brain, in my head, in my thoughts, in my mind? Can I recognize it when it comes up in my somatic experience, in my body, right? So what am I thinking? Like, what is that trigger? What is the thing, right, that triggers that, you know, call it procrastination or call it that, like that momentum just kind of dwindles. You know, it's like taking the wind out of your sails. Like, what is it? Is it an outside force? Is it a person? Is it a relationship? Like, you decide you're going to start to go do this thing, but the person you've been partying with or drinking with or overeating with or going to bars with or like whatever the thing is, they might say something, right, that makes you second guess your choice and what you feel is right for you. Sometimes that external force that is acting upon us, that outside force, is not actually looking out for us. It's not looking out for what's best for us. It does not want us to change. It does not want to lose its partner in crime in doing all the shit that you know doesn't serve you or the other person, right? So we sometimes have outside forces that keeps us from taking motion, taking action, or we have the outside voice that sees us starting to take motion and they try to chop you off at the knees. They try to stop you in your tracks. Right? They don't want your, they don't want that kind of momentum. So they try to get you to second guess yourself. And if you come from a community or a neighborhood or a culture or a family where they say shit like, who do you think you are? Oh, you think you're too good for us now? Getting a little too big for your britches over there. If you hear that kind of language, those are the people you want to run from. Get as far away as possible, because those people are not your balcony people. If you haven't listened to that episode, go check it out. Balcony people, right? I think it's called balcony people and basement people, or maybe it's just balcony people, but those are more like the basement people. Those are the people who do not want you to get momentum. They don't want you to shine. They want to keep you from getting in shape. They want to keep you. They get bent out of shape by you getting in shape. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they do not have your best interest at heart, right? So there you are. You're stepping on the gas. And then all of a sudden, it's like they're reaching across with their left foot and trying to slam on your brake. And it's not always that obvious. They won't make it wicked obvious. They'll just maybe try to slide a little passive aggressive comment in your direction. They try to tap into that, slide that little thing right into your little subconscious, right? And you can feel it a lot of times because the body is always paying attention. The body notices stuff, not just the mind, right? And we can feel it. We can feel it in our body. And there are people that we get around that encourage us, that give us energy, that help us feel enthusiastic, that help us feel like all things become possible, that we might not have it all figured out, but they believe in us and we get energized from that. And then there are the people who not only try to encourage us to just stop and to not do the thing, but they also will try to actually get in your way of accomplishing your dream or your goal or the new habit you're trying to create or the new identity. Because here's the thing, when you do something enough times, or you stop doing something enough times, your identity starts to shift. How you think about yourself, the stories you tell yourself. So I often will say it like this. If you are a non-smoker, if you identify as a non-smoker, it is easy for you to not smoke because you're like, I'm a non-smoker. I don't smoke. I don't do that. So it doesn't even occur to you, right? People who are non-drinkers, they're like, they don't drink because that's not who they are. It's not what they do. People who are like bodybuilders and tend to work out, right? If you got the label of bodybuilder, if you're somebody who works out, now your workouts might go in cycles depending on the season or if you're training for a show or whatever. But it's like, oh, I'm a bodybuilder. This is just what I do. So if we have an identity, I should just finally do this whole friggin' episode on identity. But, right? When you have an identity of a particular thing, it's way easier to keep that quote unquote body in motion, that habit in motion, right? That pattern in motion. It's like, oh, this is just what I do because this is who I am. And who I am as this identity is how I be. You know what I'm saying? So my thoughts, words, actions are going to reflect the identity that I have. So what Mark was saying, it was so fantastic when he said, it's harder to get in shape than to stay in shape. What he's saying is once you start doing the thing, once you start moving in the direction of your dream or your goal or your fitness or whatever the thing might be, writing your book, we all know, like if you're trying to write a book, it's a lot easier to sit down each day. I'm not saying it's easy to write a book, trust me. But what I'm saying is to start to build that muscle, to make those associations with that habit, with that ritual. Although I think habits and rituals, note to self, Aaron, if you're listening, note to self, I want to do a podcast on the difference between habits and rituals. But it's easier to keep doing those things consistently, because then it just becomes a part of what you do. And that's what a habit is. Anything you think, say, do, believe, repeat enough times becomes automated. It becomes habituated. And it's way easier to just, because then what happens is you don't have to think about it. And there are habits, right? There are things that have become habituated, that become automated, that do not work in our favor. Right. And that's part of the work that I do with people too, is recognizing like, okay, we have some patterns here. We might want to take a look at these, right? We might want to change these up and replace those old things with new, better ways, reprogramming our subconscious mind, rewiring in better, more empowering, loving beliefs, things like that. Right. Like transforming your story, your old story to your glory. Like we want to do that. Okay. But just think about it. Has there something, is there a goal? Is there a dream? Is there something new that you've been wanting to do? And you keep starting and stopping and starting and stopping and losing your momentum, right? Because what I'm trying to say to you is like, don't give up, keep going. Try to get a certain number, whether it's hours or practices or days or whatever under your belt. You can get yourself, you can see behind me, the big ass calendar. You can get yourself like a calendar where each day, each time you do it, or you can use this, I'm holding this up. So my friend KT made these, and you can see, so this is my hypnosis thing, right? So I have literally this box, and I put little star stickers. So I have this little calendar, right? This is for my daily hypnosis. I do hypnosis as part of my spiritual practice. And as part of my, call it whatever you want to call it, but as I call it, you know, part of my habits is I do, this one, the ones that are in yellow, you'll see those are days that I don't have a track that I'm listening to, but these are the days. So what you can see is, look at all these shiny star stickers. How awesome. You know why? Every time I get a sticker, I get a little dopamine hit, right? I get that little reward. The reward is really doing the hypnosis because I love it and it gives me so much and it helps my nervous system and it helps to rewire in better stuff up in my noggin. You know what I'm saying? We're sliding some way better shit into my, not shit, but good things into my subconscious. And every time I complete my hypnosis, I give myself a little sticker. You know what I'm saying? So there's ways to, you know, you got to know yourself. You got to know like what reward, right? What would make you happy? Do you like me? Like, and if you're not watching the show, you didn't see it, but you can jump over to YouTube and see it when this comes out, what it looks like. So my friend KT is fantastic at making like charts and graphs and like different things, because that's what she does for a living. She does creates products for teaching products for, oh, I mean, she does other things too. She's the one who makes the also the inner child cards, the self-love licenses. You can see me, this little me. So she makes these as well. But she has been a person who creates resources for children and educators and teaches and stuff like that. She's been doing that for a long time and she's fantastic. So shout out to KT. Kristen, thank you, sweetheart. This is what I want to say, you guys, is that don't get discouraged, right? There's going to be times when we're having a hard time, and just do your best with your consistency, because it's easier to stay consistent once you keep start going than to be sporadic and starting and stopping, because we do suffer the consequences of that. Just like my students in yoga who are like, oh my God, they're just trying to get going again. So we're about to hit, by the time that you guys hear this, we'll already be in a new 8-week session, but we're coming up on like our 7th week. So you can see that their bodies are starting to remember like, oh yeah, this is what it was like when I went to yoga at least once a week, when I started incorporating this into my daily life, when I make time for mobility and stretching and like all that stuff. So whatever it is that you're trying to do, right? Just remember, we want people in our life, especially if we're trying to create good, positive, helpful things, you know, that are going to be helpful to ourselves and not harmful, right? Is that it's easier to keep doing the thing than to start and stop and start and stop and start and stop, because you lose your momentum. And we want to get momentum and we want to be able to keep it. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't appropriate times for rest. There aren't appropriate times for days off. That's not what I'm saying. I think you guys are smart enough. I think if you're listening to this, if you listen to the show, you are a smart cookie and you understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about like always doing everything all the time. Go, 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 go. In fact, I'm the opposite of that. But I do think certain things that we're trying to create, whether it's projects or artwork or relationships or collaborations or new ideas or build a business or whatever it is, right? If we're doing it, we want to get a little, we want to get a little energy behind it. So starting and stopping, and just notice if you're the kind of person who often starts things and then immediately stops them, or starts them and doesn't finish them. Because underneath that pattern and that habit, there is, believe it or not, a positive intention. There is wisdom and intelligence within you as to why you do that. And if you can, you know, whether you hire a coach or a mentor, or you go to therapy, or you have sit down with yourself with a journal, like whatever, there's a lot of different ways to maybe kind of try to find out the answer to this. But, and you ask yourself, instead of attacking yourself and being like, oh, I'm such a fuck up. Why do I always do that? I can't finish anything. We tell ourselves these not so helpful stories about ourselves. If we got curious about it, and if we didn't look at it, if we didn't just try to fix it or blame it or shame it or push it away or make it awful or bad and label it, what if we got curious about it? What if we said like, huh, what is that behavior, that pattern, that thing? Right? That like, yeah, behavior, pattern, habit, whatever. If I got under it, like underneath it, what's the positive intention of that? What's the positive intention underneath my procrastination? And I know some people would be like, there's nothing positive about it. Da, 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 da. And that's not true. You just sometimes need help working with somebody who can help you to kind of, you know, create some safety in your body and in your nervous system, and use some tools to kind of get underneath it so you it can be revealed to you, because you do have inner wisdom. You do have an inner teacher that does know why. And a lot of times, you know, your nervous system just wants to stay in safety. And what that means is it just stays in what's familiar. And that's why sometimes when you're trying to change a habit, it can be wicked hard. It can just be wicked hard. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff that part of the stuff that I love to work with people on as a spiritual mentor, as a hypnotist, as a, you know, a life coach and a change worker, yoga teacher, all those things. I love kind of getting into this stuff with people. So if you ever want to work with me, if you ever want to see how you can work with me, just go to KarenKenney.com/work with me. Check it out. Happy to help. Okay. So you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this was helpful for you in some way. And I'm hoping you're thinking about what some of these inside forces are, what some of these outside forces are that keep you from staying in motion or keep you stuck in that mode where you're not getting out of your own way and you're not doing what needs to be done for your own well-being, whether that's your health, your mental health, your happiness. Remember, just think about those four levels of healing: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and taking a look at that, right? So just think about those images of like, it's easier to stay in shape than to keep trying to fucking get in shape and go back to, you ever just try starting to run again? Okay, you were ever somebody who used to run and then you take like the winter off and then it's spring and I'm in that right now. And you like try to get back out there and you're like, why do I do this? So I'm trying to get my running chops back, you know, it just makes me laugh. So we all have little areas maybe where we do that to ourselves, right? We keep doing all these other things, but we let that other thing just kind of slide or whatever. So, right. And then also think about that Mack truck, how powerful it is when it's in motion, when it has established momentum, you know, it's so incredible. And then how much energy it takes to stop, and then how much it takes to start again, right? And then just think about your body. If you've been sitting for a long time, look, if you have not, as we get older, I say everybody over 40, right? I would even say go back earlier than that, but I'm trying to be kind here. I think everybody over 40 should be doing strength training, resistance work, lifting weights, even if it's your own body weight, it's so important. And we want that strength, we want that stability, but we also need that mobility and that flexibility. So yoga can be a very powerful way to help yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Just putting a little plug in there for like the fantastic, you know, and find a really good yoga teacher. Do your homework, visit different studios, visit different teachers till you find somebody who's really, really, really kind of giving you an experience of more than just the posture, somebody who really kind of explains, you know, what yoga really is and gets into kind of the spiritual concepts and stuff like that. Okay. That's my little love letter from my heart to yours. I hope you're having a fantastic day or night whenever you listen to this. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of your time resource with me. I super duper really do. I really, really, really do appreciate it. I'm so happy I got to spend a little time with you today. So look, wherever you go, leave yourself. Leave the animals, please. Can we leave the animals alone? Can we be so kind, so compassionate to the animals, please? They have no voices. We have to be voices for the voiceless. Please leave the people, the animals, the children, the environment, the planet better than how we first found it. Wherever we go, may our being there be a blessing. Bye. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the show. I really love spending some time together. Now, if you dig the show or know someone that could benefit from this episode, please share it with them and help me to spread the good word and the love. And if you want to be in the know about all of my upcoming shenanigans, head on over to karenkenny.com/signup and join my list. It'll be wicked fun to stay in touch. Bye!